Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Maybe you've seen this play out where you live. Your state or local government offers big tax breaks to attract businesses. The businesses save on taxes, and the communities get jobs, but lose out on millions of dollars for local budgets. A study from Louisiana shows there may be a better way to handle tax breaks. Pat Garofalo is director of state and local policy at the American Economic Liberties Project. Hi, Pat.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Louisiana puts this issue into graphic relief because it had one of the highest rates of corporate tax breaks in the country. How had it doled out tax breaks?
Yeah, so Louisiana for a long time was one of the most notorious users of corporate tax incentives in the country, and its main program was called ITEP, the Industrial Taxation Exemption Program, which mostly gave property tax breaks to oil and gas companies. There were some other companies mixed in, but that was the main beneficiary.
And the kind of tax breaks would be, for instance, what?
They would mostly be on property, so the money that usually goes, that corporations usually pay to fund things like school districts, they would get a tax break on that. And oftentimes it would be 100%, so these companies would be paying literally no property taxes, the sort of thing that no homeowner ever gets.
So, in 2016, Governor John Bel Edwards, a Democratic governor in a Republican state, issued executive orders to change how tax breaks worked or were offered in the state. What did he change?
So he made several changes. He lowered the total amount that a corporation could receive in property tax breaks, lowering it from 100% to 80%. He made some changes to job requirements. But the most important thing he did and the most impactful was simply giving local government bodies, be they city councils or school boards, the ability to reject the portion of a corporate tax break that would affect their budget. So the corporations had to go and make their case before these local government bodies, before these school boards, and say why they needed the money, and the school board could turn around and say, actually, no, we don't want to do that. We'd rather have the funds in our classroom.
How did that go?
When corporations had to come and make that case, oftentimes the school board would say, no, actually, we don't want to do that. And in most of those instances, the project went ahead anyway. The other really interesting thing that happened was that requests overall simply dropped. The corporations didn't want to come and make these public asks. And again, that's in line with a lot of the history we have seen on corporate tax incentives. When you force these companies to actually come before the public and make the affirmative case for why they need these massive tax breaks, they don't do it because they don't want to. They'd much rather these deals be made in back rooms and out of the public eye.
Which is the way it used to happen. An unelected government board based in the state capital would be the one on the receiving end of the request from an oil giant, for instance.
Yeah, exactly. And so the mere fact of putting this request in front of the public drove down the number of requests, drove down the number of dollars that were spent on these deals, but really interestingly drove up business investment in the state. And I think that's one of the most important takeaways from this study is that when you talk about corporate tax incentives, business interests, corporate interests, the politicians who tend to favor these programs always argue that not using them is going to put the state at a competitive disadvantage. In Louisiana, you would always hear the story about how Texas was inevitably going to swoop in and steal all of their jobs if you cut funding for these corporate tax incentive programs. But this study showed that these reforms didn't do that. Business investment went up. The business climate got better.
Okay, so just going back a little bit, the study you're talking about is the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis. It found that between 2016 and 2021, more property was taxed, more revenue was generated for schools and police and counties when these local boards refused a request. And as you say, the companies went ahead and did the project anyway, despite not getting any tax breaks. So the tax breaks were really not a deal breaker.
Exactly. And that's in line with a lot of other research that has been done. The research in this area shows that anywhere between 75 and 95% of projects that receive corporate tax incentives would have gone ahead even without those incentives. And that's because in the grand scheme of things, taxes just aren't that big a deal to most corporations and to their business model. There are
seriously?
Way more important things.
Well,
absolutely.
When they're not paying any taxes at all, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, but when they're deciding where to put a facility, there are so many factors that go into it. You need to have access to your supply chains. You need to have access to the right sort of workforce. You need to have access to infrastructure like roads and airports, depending on what your product is. Taxes are such a small percentage of that decision-making process, but corporations have done a really good job over the last several decades of making it seem like local taxes are the overriding concern in order to gin up these sorts of deals that were happening in Louisiana.
Is this plan transferable? Could places like New York and Michigan, which also have high rates of corporate tax incentives, could they adopt something like this?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about corporate tax incentives broadly is it's not really a kind of blue, red, RD, or even industry-specific problem. It's a political elites versus communities problem. And so these reforms can absolutely translate. I think it's really important, and it would be really beneficial to have local communities providing more input into these. In my opinion, you tend to have better outcomes when the community is involved in decision-making about what's going to occur in the local economy. I think we've seen that over and over and over again.
Well, it's a fascinating project. Thank you for telling us about it. Pat Garofalo, who's the Director of State and Local Policy at the American Economic Liberties Project, the author of the newsletter Boondoggle. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you so much.